Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at espnau.com.
Hello and welcome in. It is the Friday edition of The Drive. Have a happy, healthy, and safe Memorial Day weekend, everybody. As Dan Peck in the studio at the controls. Bill Cameron taking the day off to go see Nicole Kidman's husband do some country music up in Atlanta. And Drew's got some flimsy excuse. I don't know. I didn't ask about why Drew is unable to come into work today. But they, you know, those guys work hard, so I'm happy to help accommodate their 4-day weekend. I do want to point out to folks that the drive will not be on the air on Monday as we observe Memorial Day here at ESPN 106.7. And we got 2 hours of radio for you today, and I'm thrilled that the defensive line coach has come out of the bullpen. He's gonna be thrown on the apron this weekend and getting some grilling done. And we may periodically throughout the show, if I have some grilling questions, if you are going to be on the barbecue this weekend and you've got any questions, I can't think of a man who's better equipped to answer them than the defensive line coach of the Drive, Don Dunn. How you doing, Coach? Thanks for coming in today.
I'm doing great, buddy. This is kind of the unofficial kickoff of summer grilling. A lot of the pools open this weekend. Everybody will be firing up the grills, couple and the smokers.
A couple of big blockbuster movies coming out this weekend, too, which I always sort of identify with.
Summer.
With summer season. You got the Tom Cruise Mission Impossible movie and the live action Lilo and Stitch. The box office projections and stuff.
Right.
This thing's going to be enormous. I was a little old for the original Lilo and Stitch, so like I did not quite. It did not imprint on my childhood the way it has on an entire generation or two of folks. But there is a ton of nostalgia for that movie, and there is a ton of excitement for the live-action one coming out this weekend. So even at the movie theaters,
there'll always be a little bit of that. You know, big summer movie events. I remember the year Jaws came out and all that stuff. And everybody was afraid to go in the water.
Are you ready for me to tell you that this summer is the 50th anniversary?
I'm really telling my age of
the release of Jaws. I watched it. So Jaws is free on YouTube Movies right now. You can watch it.
It's still a great movie.
They've uploaded it, and it's I think it's Universal.
50 years.
1975. Jaws was released in the summer, and they filmed the sequel in Northwest Florida. They used Okaloosa Island and Fort Walton Beach. There's still some spots. I think hurricanes have washed some of them away.
Right.
But some of the spots that were, you know, the hotel where the crew stayed and their favorite dive bar and
that's
some
awesome
memorabilia from the film, you know, they periodically you'll run into some of that down there on the coast.
Then you have the new opening of the theme parks. Oh. I've been watching that on the Today Show. My goodness.
These things are
the technology is just, it blows your mind.
You remember what a roller coaster
seemed
like futuristic.
And the old time Ferris wheel and the
merry-go-round. And the Jaws ride.
Yeah.
Right? And the shark coming out of the water. But I've watched Jaws recently enough, as a matter of fact. I think the idea that you're not gonna see like it deliberately like I think a Godzilla movie, like some of the better Japanese Godzilla films, they hold off on showing them to you, right? And it's so much more about human reaction to the thing,
the music, and the
terror, the sense of terror without being able to see it, just seeing the reaction
That music
and that's something that Jaws is. I mean, and look, there are some moments where you see the shark too.
Enough,
but there's the moments where it's about what you're not seeing is just a masterclass in monster movie sort of filmmaking, and I can't imagine the thought of like, yeah, we're on the vacation at the beach this summer, and we're going to go see.
And the kids won't go in the water.
We're going to go see Jaws, and then we're going to go to the beach tomorrow or something. And it's like, oh, no. Like, yeah. there must not have been too much.
And you still think about it even.
Yeah,
no,
sure. I mean, growing up down in Destin, like, yeah. you take a boat ride out not that far from shore. Mm-hmm. You're not right there, but not too far from shore. And it's very common to see some very scary stuff.
Yeah.
Like over by the fishing pier.
Right.
On Okloosa Island, right, mm-hmm. right by Gulfarium and Anglers and all that. Like you'll see, absolutely. You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I think we need a bigger boat. What a great line. He's chumming.
Oh man. 334-321-1390. That's the drive hotline presented by our friends at Skybar. They're open this weekend if folks are in town and wanting to do a little Memorial Day weekend sightseeing in downtown Auburn. They've been doing some construction,
right?
So it's just been the back, but I think they should be good to go this weekend. I'll check in with our buddies over there. But we don't have, you know, especially about the stuff we usually talk about on this show, there's not a ton that's changed in the and that's usually good news,
right?
Like you've said it's the season of the call at midnight.
Nervous as
and,
a coach,
and usually it's not good news.
It's not good if that phone rings late at night during the off season or any time, but you're always worried about, especially when they in the old days they went home a lot more and was at home longer in the summer. Now at least they're here. You can kind of keep an eye on them, but you might not hear from a kid for a week. You know, no cell phones back then,
and you might think that you've got. I mean, if you feel good about your roster right now, and mm-hmm. I would suspect based on a couple of things, the fact that they were able to hold on to so many guys after the end of this past season, the fact that they were able to, the fact that the spring portal window wasn't all that busy for the team. Like, I think they feel pretty good about the roster that mm-hmm. they've got right now. It's a matter of making sure that all of those players make it to fall practice healthy and
healthy, safe, and
available.
Good, yes.
In good standing.
Yes. No freak injuries, no trouble off the field.
You don't hear as much about academic concerns as you used to. It sounds like schools have invested pretty heavily in.
And I also think with all the, and I could be dead wrong, all the online classes now. I mean, it's kind of hard to mess up, isn't it? I mean, if you do your work.
I mean, I don't want to assume anything about, I don't want to disparage anyone struggling in school these days.
Spell check. I would have been a B student instead of a D student.
It sounds like, I mean, you're not, that was something that was more prevalent in almost like a bygone era of college athletics.
We did worry about it. We'd wait and have a GA or somebody run over to see remember when they used to post the grades? You might be too young.
No, I remember great. Yeah, yeah.
On the door, I'm thinking, how can they? And they would be in their social security number or an ID number. Crazy.
Now, I can say, though, I was never in a class that posted the grades that way. I was never – I'd avoided the borderline in those classes.
Oh, man.
Now, I tap danced. I tap danced on the borderline.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of times as a student. But I was able to avoid that movie scene of tracking your grade and making sure
when you made the cheerleading squad.
Exactly.
That's brutal. Those the girls could be mean.
That's right. When they only take two mascots,
right.
And there's three or four guys
exactly
trying out. Nothing has changed dramatically as far mm-hmm. as when you look at the football team and the roster over the last couple of days or weeks.
Haven't heard anything.
Which again sounds like and Hugh Freeze seemed to indicate they were pretty much done.
Right.
They've assembled a roster they feel good about.
The golf tournament, I think he mentioned that.
I mean the portal, there are still hundreds, if not thousands, of D1 college football players who are out there in the portal, like sort of waiting for a call from somewhere. you know, and with every day that goes by,
I'd be getting nervous.
I mean, I've waited for my share of calls.
Oh, me too.
And every day that goes by, no, you
that the, old you, country song, that's me if the phone ain't ringing.
Yeah, you don't feel it. Yeah, you don't feel any better about it as every with each passing day. And so, but it sounds like at Auburn, unless something were to change with the roster, they don't sound like they're shopping in the portal to add anyone to the team, which again is in contrast to those first two seasons when Hugh Freeze was building his roster, and it felt like
we still need somebody.
They overturned every rock. They looked under every barrel,
and they had to
find somebody who could maybe help their team
to fill in,
because they'd stepped into a roster that had so many holes and so many and that first year, so many of the solutions they found were 1 year guys,
right.
So it was like you were even, and this is something I think it's to their credit, they're not on the treadmill every year,
right,
having to go get and
hopefully, like you said, it'll get better.
And I think this year is a sign.
Yeah,
that because you're not having
massive turnover.
The fact that they feel like they can lose players to graduation, and they have
the normal way,
and they have in-house options. Mm-hmm. They have guys that they don't need. They don't need to go find a senior in the portal to join the crew. And that's because it's dangerous. Because if you're relying on that upperclassman influx every year, there can be a year you miss on a guy or two, and suddenly it can stop your momentum cold.
Yes,
and exactly. So you want to avoid something like that.
Exactly. Mm. And we have the SEC tournament going on. Ole Miss, 5-2?
Yeah, Tennessee coming back last night.
I've watched that. I mean, I hate Tennessee.
I mean, Texas looked like they had the upper hand early. That game was on during the show yesterday.
Yeah.
Texas looked like they had the upper hand early. And Tennessee, they weathered the storm. They battled back. And they win the thing in extras. And they stay alive. And they've got – and it's probably I don't think it's in direct competition with Auburn, because I don't know if Tennessee is going to be able to do enough to break into the top eight.
Right.
But Tennessee could crash the party of, like, a lot of folks had Tennessee projected on the two line in the NCAA tournament going into the SEC tournament. And if they, I mean, after winning yesterday, like, I wonder if they have jumped maybe into the top 16. If they are maybe a team that's going to be hosting, and that would be, that's bad news for anybody who's got to go to Tennessee for a regional if they're a host, because that place is
they rock and roll.
One of the tougher places to play in college baseball. I think a lot of the SEC teams are looking at the home field as especially important.
Yeah,
this year, not just because you avoid the travel of having to go somewhere else, although that's a huge benefit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, compared to having to, I mean, you. Coach, when you would take the circus on the road, you've talked about it before. Like there's any number of things that can go wrong with a restless player who has a friend in town or doesn't like his hotel room homesick or
anything. I can tell you some stories without mentioning names, and not here at Auburn. One night I couldn't sleep, got up, walked down to the lobby, just walked around the hotel, and I see a car pull up, and there's one of our best players about 2 o'clock in the morning getting out with the cigarette smoke was flying, the girls are giggling, and I'm thinking, are you kidding me? And that's a nightmare.
Wow.
But it happens, even in the pros. You know, you hear the stories about the old Green Bay Packers being out all night before the Super Bowl.
I like to when I'm on the road with the team, I like to work in hotel lobbies. I'd rather be in the lobby than in my room if I'm working on stuff.
Yeah,
and I think that I've sort of unofficially taken on I'd tattle on anybody.
Oh yeah, yeah. But I think they appreciate them seeing you. That helps.
And I'll tell you something else. I will not mention a name. I will tell you that it's not Troy. This was not Troy.
Right.
In Pensacola this year, There was a men's basketball team in the Sun Belt that had two GAs posted in the hall. They had the whole they had the whole team in one hallway.
Right. Yep.
They had the whole team in one hallway. They had a GA in the hallway until about 3 a.m.
Oh yeah.
And they had another one in the lobby.
Yeah, we've had
and that. I was told something had happened on the road earlier in the season.
Right.
And now they had to have a couple of players.
Well, you know,
they had a couple people that were on you know, night watch because of the team.
Exactly. You know, we had officers that traveled with us, and usually they were out in the hall. I remember it at Western Kentucky, and we never had a problem there. And maybe this is why we stayed at a local hotel, all on pretty much one floor. But to get out, you had to come down to the main floor. And we had a police officer at both doors. And in the old days, the GAs did that. We would have that duty.
Well, that's, you know what? It feels like it might be easier to talk a GA into keeping quiet than a an on-duty policeman who's there.
A campus policeman.
Yeah, campus
policeman. Probably after you anyway.
Yeah. So this all started as the benefit of being able to host next weekend in college baseball rather than take your team on the road. On top of how much better some of these teams have played at home.
Right.
You know, with the home atmosphere. Like, I mean, Auburn's 12-3 in conference play. At home this season in their 15 SEC games.
And with the new additions, the crowds, it'd be just a plus. So let's hope Tennessee stumbles.
Auburn's looking like they're in the top 10 in most folks' projections of the field. The problem is in the NCAA tournament in baseball, there's a big difference between 8 and 9 because the top 8 are going to host in super regional play if they were to win in the regional. If they were to advance out of regionals, they get to continue to host. 9 and 10 go on the road.
Right.
If chalk holds, 9 and 10 go on the road and play at 8 and at 7, respectively. So that would be the position Auburn potentially finds themselves in. A lot of folks had Auburn at like 7 or 8 going into the SEC tournament. Loss to Texas A&M isn't huge. Texas A&M could very well be in the NCAA tournament after the way they've played of late. So there is something to, and you're not going to learn a ton Sunday.
No,
because you're going to learn the top 16, and Auburn is expected to be in the top 16 no matter what happens between now and Sunday. Monday, when we get the bracket, that's when you find out if Auburn is 7 or 8 or 9 or 10. And if Auburn is 8 or better, they could be hosting super regional play for the first time in program history. Auburn's never had the super regionals at Plainsman Park before. They're in position to do exactly that if they can catch a break or two between now and the start of the tournament. 334-321-1390, the number to dial. Dan Peck, Don Dunn in the studio. On a Friday, starting your 3-day weekend off. Love to hear from you, 334-321-1390. This is The Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. 1-390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back to The Drive, Friday edition. Holiday weekend edition, kicking off your summer vacation. Dan Peck and Don Dunn in the studio. Coach, when would you use the indirect heat on a like, you know, you got your direct heat, your indirect heat. When are the best instances to break out the indirect heat?
The only time I use direct heat would be like a steak, hamburger, hot dogs.
Trying to get a hard sear on something?
Anything else, ribs, chicken, hams, butts, that's all low and slow.
Okay. Yeah, it's a lot.
And sometimes chicken wings, you know, you like to crank up the fire.
Sure. I've been doing a lot of, and I think one of the benefits of, you know, I could have a living situation change in the next couple of months, and I might I might be talking pops into the grill.
Yeah.
So you know, I might be doing, you know, I could be on the on the grill a little bit more than I am right now, which is, yeah, you know, something I miss.
I never was a golfer. You know, I had to play some golf as a coach, some events. I was terrible. My dad was pretty decent. My wife was a good golfer at one time. I'm terrible. I get bored. I hate it. But I've always liked cooking. That was sort of like my hobby. So, you know, my grandfather, he loved to cook. He would always use an excuse not to go to church, which was awful. But when we get home from church, which we never missed, my grandmother would get me up even in college and drag me to church and Sunday school so I could get my little pins, my little certificates of attendance. But we'd come home, and he'd always – that's the first time I ever saw anybody soak wood to get the smoke, you know, the wood chips.
Sure.
Had the old rotisserie. Awesome.
Oh, man.
And that's you know, that's 50, 60 years ago.
That's really cool stuff. Yeah. And it rubbed off on you a little bit. So, yeah.
Yeah, so we just – and then the late, great Terry Price, he took it to another level. You know, we had a team at Ole Miss that went to and competed in Memphis in May, and we won the Sauce. And this was 1997. I don't know how we did it. It had to be rigged. And they came back and asked for some more of the judges, and we'd already used it all, so we had to mix something else up. And we won, so that was fun times because, you know, Ole Miss is only like 50 miles from Memphis or less.
I did not know the Sauce story.
Oh, yeah, we won the world. And sometime I'll bring in the trophy. We can take a picture of it. I've got this huge trophy from Memphis in May.
Oh, man, that's cool.
I mean, vinegar-based sauce, I believe, yeah.
Coach Price was the best. Just fantastic.
Yeah, what a great guy.
That's wonderful. And
we were called the Pigskins. That was our name.
And he had an influence on the
He had his chef's hat, and he had his little chef's white coat, and then I got one, and we were pretty corny.
That's fantastic. That's outstanding.
Now everybody else was playing golf and going hunting. Terry and I were cooking.
Yeah, cooking and winning barbecue.
We had some other helpers too. Andy Lutz was on that team. Eldon Holly, Benji Pierce, and he was our strength coach at Ole Miss. It was fun.
I mean, winning competitions in Memphis. No joke barbecue.
But it got so expensive, and that is an expensive hobby. If you travel, you have to have sponsors.
Oh, competition barbecue?
Yeah,
I believe that.
And, you know, some of these rigs. If you ever get a chance, you need to go to one of those sanctioned barbecue contests. The rigs are unbelievable.
Oh, wow.
Like this Myron Mix guy from Georgia. I mean, it's just unbelievable the money they spend. And I like watching that, you know, those shows on the Food Channel, the barbecue cook-offs and stuff. It's amazing, but it's very expensive.
Our award-winning barbecue expert here on the show, Coach Don.
But Dunn. I will say this real quick, Dan, and we'll get back to sports.
No urgency. Low and slow.
Not this weekend.
We're doing low and slow sports talk right now, right? If we got to go to another topic.
I cooked the worst rack of ribs ever last Saturday. My poor wife tried to chew on them.
Oh, no.
I tried some different things. I did not take the membrane off the back, which is a sin. I didn't trim them up like
that
I normally do.
It doesn't render down.
No. And I cooked them in the oven, which ought to be shot. And but they were awful. In fact, she chewed on a bone for about 10 minutes, and I said, don't eat that. Don't eat it.
You can't.
And it's hard to mess up ribs in the oven.
I was going to say, you can't get them in the oven? Or
no, I got them. I did everything wrong.
The fact that you got it wrong and in the oven is
right.
Is
I didn't cook them long enough. I didn't cook them hot enough. I should have had them on 250. I had them on like 220. I tried to hurry them. I didn't take the membrane off.
Not to reveal family secrets here, but I think the way my dad and mm-hmm. the family, I think the family method up there is, you get it started, boiling them in the pot.
Maybe a little
beef bouillon, some stock in the pot with water.
You can boil ribs and then put them on.
You get them started.
I have not done that in a long time, but yes, I've done that.
Yeah, and that's
Yes.
A decent way to make them if you trust them tender.
Yeah.
And then finish them on the grill with some sauce and get the texture on the outside.
Always put the sauce on very, very late so you don't burn it.
Because of sugar, right?
Yeah. It'll caramelize and burn. Yeah.
Absolutely. I told you we were going to get some. I told you we were going to get some grilling segments in here as well as we watch the SEC tournament here.
Yeah.
I mean, Coach was thinking we could just have some wings and some refreshments.
Yeah, some refreshments. Here,
you know, I'll see if the concession stand's open.
Yeah, I think everybody's gone. But
here at the station, yeah.
Kind of quiet around town.
I'll see what's going on.
Everybody's at Lake Martin and the beach.
334-321-1390 is the number to dial. You want to jump in and ask Coach anything, as you know, from football to what kind of wood. You throw in there on the, you know, to soak and throw in there on the on the grill. But we got more coming up. Dan Peck, Don Dunn, you are listening to The Drive.
When bones get out of joint, the orthopedic clinic.
Welcome back in. Memorial Day weekend edition of The Drive. No show on Friday, or no show on Monday. We're doing a show today. There is a show on Friday. No show Monday. We'll be back on Tuesday. Should have the college baseball bracket to break down, including Auburn's opponent for next weekend's regional play. Auburn expected to host at Plainsman Park next weekend in the round of 64 in the college baseball tournament. We'll find out. Who else?
Sunday and Monday, I guess.
Is the Sunday and Monday?
The announcements.
Yeah, Sunday we'll learn the top 16. Mm-hmm. It seems safe to expect Auburn in the top 16. Monday we get the entire bracket. So Tuesday, when we're back, we'll be able to break that thing down. Still no word on Todd Pettiford. You know, we'll see if we can get an update.
When is that time limit up?
The deadline, I believe, is end of business on the 28th.
So it's coming up.
So I think Wednesday night at 11:59 Eastern or something. I could be getting the time wrong, but it's like at some point Wednesday, you have to tell the I think it's the Players Association that you are dropping out of the draft and going back to college basketball. If you don't and you stay in the draft, you are by rule ineligible for next year's college basketball season. So there's a day where you sort of decide, am I a professional basketball player or am I going back to college and you can take me off the draft board? Tahad is, and Janai pretty much took it down to the deadline the last two seasons as well. So we've become better acquainted with this process than we had been for a couple of years, but Tahad and Sharif Cooper, for that matter,
right,
you know, explored the draft. Although he was, I think he made his decision earlier in the process than and didn't go all the way to the deadline. But Tahad is most folks have him end of the first round, top of the second, and if that's the consensus and that consensus is correct, I could see why he's struggling to decide if he wants to play another year of college basketball or if he wants to go ahead and start his pro career with a team willing to invest first round or close to first round capital on his development. No word yet he had the big combine last week. This week, I think it's more sort of getting reactions from teams and getting reactions around the league.
I think they are going around doing some workouts for different teams. I could be wrong.
That would make sense. It's private workout week. For teams that could be interested. So yeah, it's a tense time, I think, for folks who really want to see Tahad Pettiford continue his Auburn career, because this is a pivotal next couple of days as he makes his decision about whether or not to drop out of the draft and come back. A couple of the guys, the activity we had this week is that a couple of players who profiled as potential replacements for Tahad Pettiford at Auburn, if he decided he was going to stay in the draft, a couple of the guys we've talked about as players that Auburn would be after, they fit the mold of high-level lead guard in college basketball in the transfer portal and not currently affiliated with a team. Boogie Fland, the Arkansas guard who missed a big chunk of last season, came back. He was, you know, for an extended stretch when they beat St. John's in the round of 32, and that upset to go to the Sweet 16, he was the best player on the floor.
Right,
like he was off the bounce. Just this team that had been one of the best defenses in college basketball, the best team in the Big East, they had no answer for Boogie Fland in his freshman year in college basketball. He's back in college basketball. He dropped out of the draft. He's going to play for Todd Golden at Florida. It's a nice pickup for a Florida team that's got to replace Walter Clayton Jr. And has gone out and found one of the better guards available in the portal. And then earlier this week, we also got the news that Josh Hubbard, the Mississippi State guard who had been in the draft, and even though he had said he wanted to come back to Mississippi State if he'd come back, according to reports, he was also in the portal. He announces that he's back and coming back to state. So Mississippi State, a huge retention.
Yeah, he's really good.
He's you know, a potential preseason SEC Player of the Year type of guard, a guy who was really impressive as a true freshman. You know, I thought there were steps I kind of wanted to see him take as a sophomore that didn't necessarily happen, but it's got to be enormous for State to be able to retain a player like that. And if he takes those steps this offseason, I mean, he absolutely could be your preseason conference player of the year. He could be a preseason first team all SEC kind of guy. And it was fun to play fantasy basketball and think about Josh Hubbard on Auburn or Alabama or Arkansas or Kentucky because of some of the players that they bring back.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? None of those programs needed him next year like Mississippi State probably needed him, because without him, having already lost Keyshawn Murphy to Auburn, like if you lost Josh Hubbard in conference somewhere else, suddenly you're looking at fighting a losing battle more often than not. And you're doing it with a couple of your best players in the conference wearing other jerseys. And that would be, you know, for a guy in year three, you know, Chris Jans at State, like for a coach in year three, I think it'd be a really tough, maybe year four, I forget, but it's like it would be tough for him to would be a tough punch to absorb, right? Like that'd be a tough shot. So you hold on to Hubbard. And I think it absolutely keeps a lot of enthusiasm around the program, and it has them, you know, in position to be, and they were an NCAA tournament team this past year, in position to maybe grow on that depending on how Hubbard's game grows. But for Auburn, I mean, I think that would have been a fun option to consider,
right, exactly,
if you need to replace Todd Pettiford. Instead, Todd Pettiford, you don't have a decision about him, but you do learn this week that Boogie Fland and Josh Hubbard are not options to replace him at Auburn. It's, you know, and so as that, you know, as you watch the sand go through the old hourglass,
right?
Like, you know, it's a very, I mean, it's a pivotal decision for Todd. And I don't think Todd can really factor in how much Auburn needs him next year, right? Like that doesn't really change how the NBA views him and what would be the best choice for Todd, except that, you know, I suppose it could influence Auburn's financial offer to him. Although I think if this had been about using all the leverage available to you financially, Todd would have gone to the portal.
Mm-hmm.
And he would have been able to solicit offers from other teams as well as Auburn. The fact that he's not in the transfer portal and cannot enter the transfer portal right now, between now and the start of next season, I mean, to me, that would indicate that it hasn't just been about the money he can make one way or the other, right? It's about the opportunity, sort of with the understanding. And I don't know what financial, you know what I mean? Like they don't let me join those conversations.
No.
but I would think that Tahad is sort of well taken care of no matter which option he chooses. Like I would think that's sort of the assumption, and that's probably part of the reason why he didn't even explore the transfer portal
right
as a choice. It's either going to be Auburn or it's going to be the NBA draft. And
And
look, when you're undersized and you've evaluated, you've been in these decision making, you know, situations.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me like probably a defensive line too. When you're undersized, you're constantly having to prove that you can do it.
Right.
And when you're the ideal size or even big for the position, it feels like you're going to keep getting opportunities to show that you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because folks want to believe that they've got like a – and I think with Tahad, look, I understand wanting prototypical size at every position – In if you're evaluating someone, and it doesn't matter if it's basketball or football or baseball. I understand wanting someone to be the size you're supposed to be. But if you dismiss a guy because he's an inch short or an inch and a half short, you're going to occasionally miss out on a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
Like occasionally you're going to be handing a superstar to somebody else. And I think with Tahad Pettiford, I get why teams would want to see him shoulder added responsibility with another year of college basketball and be that lead defensive player and that playmaker and that scorer and run the offense for extended periods of time and do something and be the most experienced guy in the program, you know, as opposed to, you know, sort of, you know, this, you know, part of the Beatles like yeah. he was this past year. But I also understand why a team would look at him and say, first round, like that's a guy who, if he were an inch taller, there wouldn't be arguments about whether or not he's a first rounder, or there wouldn't be arguments about what like it's sort of, and I can understand why someone looks at him and says, if he were a little bit bigger, and if he'd played a little bit more as a freshman, the same guy would be a top 10 pick in this year's draft,
mm-hmm.
and you can get that guy right now,
yep.
at 27 or 28. And have him as a 20-year-old in your program. I can understand why a good NBA organization, you know, one of those, you know, the Spurs. Mm-hmm. I can understand why a team you associate with multiple generation success,
mm-hmm.
would maybe look at a player like that and say, "There's something there," and we see it, and we're seeing it before we are the organization, because everybody can't be ahead of the curve. Right, like there's got to be a curve, and then there's got to be some folks behind the curve. The organizations that are historically ahead of the curve wouldn't be all that shocked if Tahad stays in the draft and ends up at a Boston Celtics or a San Antonio Spurs, or you know, pick the Warriors,
mm-hmm.
like teams that you would think of as like, oh well, that's you got a pretty stable the Heat, right? Like places where it's like, oh yeah, there's a stable organization. And generally speaking, when I say the names of the decision makers, it's guys that you associate with being the brightest minds in the history.
They know Popovich. What they're doing.
It's a Popovich or a Riley,
right.
Or a Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
Like it's guys who
know what they're doing.
Guys who know what they're doing.
Exactly.
Wouldn't be shocked if Tahad ended up at an organ. Like would love to see him back in Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Like understand, like it would be a phenomenon that we haven't really had. As far as one of the top point guards, a consensus, one of the top point guards on a team that folks feel is a top 10, top 12, top 15 type of team.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't really seen that at Auburn. Tahad Pettiford would be that kind of player on that kind of team if he comes back. But he's got a lot riding on the decision too.
Right.
I don't know. But like he's from kid from Jersey City. Like I don't know if he dreamed of being the best player on an SEC team growing up, or if he dreamed of being, you know, the guy winning or losing the game for the Knicks or something,
right,
or the
right.
guy that I don't know how much of his dream was college basketball, and how much of his dream has always sort of been aimed at. The next line. As a guy from the Northeast, I would assume that maybe, although there are some great college basketball programs in the Northeast too. Like it's not just like I don't think it's just, oh well, he's from the North, so it's got to be pro sports. But
right.
I could see why the NBA, mm-hmm. you know, has a allure to a guy like that. That maybe it's not, you know, not the same for everybody. So we'll see what Tejada does. We'll have, crazy to think that this time next week, like, we'll have a decision.
Right.
We will know if Tejada's back in college basketball or if he is if he's making. If he's testing the NBA draft in 2025.
Yep.
334-321-1390, the number to dial. That is the Drive Hotline presented by our friends at Skybar. You can also text the show, 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast. We'll be back with more. You are listening to The Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Hour number one of the Friday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck, Coach Don Dunn in the house. Coach, what you got? What's the barbecue looking like this weekend?
Should be busy. Yeah. You know, we're open Monday. Some places are not. In the past, I remember from this weekend, Memorial Day, it's been a big rib, slabs of ribs. We sold a lot of them. You can get a slab to go. We put them in a nice bag that keeps them warm.
We were having an off-air conversation earlier that made me want like a char-grilled hamburger, right? Either on the flat top or on the on the grill, whatever it is. But I could go for something. I asked Brian Matthews earlier this week if you're at a like a Memorial Day cookout or really just something outdoorsy. You know what I mean? You know, if you're given the blank canvas of the hot dog, and you got all the options, all the accoutrement in front of you, like what's going on the Don Dunn?
Well, first of all, I hope it's a brat.
Okay, all right.
I love brats, but like
smoked sausage, pretty good.
Oh yeah, yeah, and connected. Yeah,
we were just chatting a little bit about it. Yeah,
yeah. I just like a pretty simple one. Maybe a little cheese,
okay.
A little relish, mustard. Ketchup.
I could do a sprinkle of. And I know they're like the purists that are going to get mad when you say ketchup, but like I wouldn't, especially like a ballpark. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like we're doing ballpark style hot dogs. A little bit of ketchup. I'm really a little yellow mustard goes a long way for me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because that's one that you'll. That's one that you'll.
I like the brown spicy mustard.
Yeah, brown spicy. Brown spicy
but
mustard.
We usually slap a thing of cheese on there, and I'm not a big onion guy. I like onions, but they don't like me.
I'll tell you what, I like. Now the same question with a cheeseburger.
Right,
onions are going on it. Like I'm an onion.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're grilling them, I mean, yeah. I'm not. You know, I mean, not to get all fancy.
Right.
But a grilled or a sauteed onion.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That's all you need. That's all you need on a burger right there. But a little bit of ketchup, a little bit of mustard. Nothing too fancy for me. But I do love it. And that's a spectator food, isn't it? I mean, not that it's, you know, nothing wrong with it at a cookout or a barbecue or something too.
Right.
Like that's a, like Justin Ferguson's at the Braves game tonight,
right?
And I'm gonna pressure him to have a hot dog for us. I'm gonna say I don't know if he's a season ticket holder,
I
don't know how often and they've got Truist has the dining options in that spot are just, I mean, it's phenomenal. You can go. Yeah, you can go to the concession stand and get yourself a hot dog if you want. You can get a lot fancier than that with your dining options. But I'm going to see if I can pressure Ferguson. We didn't talk about this too much. He's going to the game tonight. He was going to hang out with us today. Changed his mind when he found out yesterday there was an excellent chance Ronald Acuña Jr. making his return, and in fact has been activated and will start for the Braves tonight.
That's
so Ronald Acuña Jr. just under a year after tearing the ACL in a game, second time in his career that he's had a midseason ACL tear end things prematurely. He's back for a Braves team that should be a lot of fun for the Braves tonight. They host the San Diego Padres for three games, and Ronald Acuña Jr. Will be in the lineup tonight, leading off for the Atlanta Braves.
That's exciting.
Making his debut for the
Should be a beautiful night.
Should be beautiful, yeah. And those are two of the best teams in the National League. Should be a lot of fun. Padres, 27,
big crowd.
27 and 21. Tatis Jr. is phenomenal there at the top of the lineup for the Padres. We'll get a report from Ferguson at some point in the next couple of days, probably next week. We'll get a report from Ferguson about his time seeing Ronald Acuna Jr. return to the lineup for the Atlanta Braves tonight. That's Don Dunn. I'm Dan Peck. Hour number two coming up. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to The Drive.
Hip pain is not to be taken lightly. It could be a sign of hip impingement. If pain, stiffness, or limping persist.
From Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Friday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck, Don Dunn in the studio talking some sports. I'm getting grilling advice from the man. We might do the segment on the air too, because we were talking about some names from the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of our favorites from the last couple of generations of Auburn football. Love to hear from you. 334-321-1390, the number to dial. I am at the controls because Drew is taking the day off. Bill Cameron is seeing Keith Urban, who I keep wanting to call Kenny Chesney mm-hmm. when I talk about what Bill's doing. But no, Bill is seeing Keith Urban in Atlanta tonight. No word on if Nicole Kidman will be will be in attendance supporting her husband. But the we mentioned that our buddy Justin Ferguson, mm-hmm. who comes in sometimes on Fridays, he, Braves season ticket holder, he is doing his solemn duty welcoming back Ronald Acuna Jr. tonight. Mm-hmm. Just mentioned during the previous hour that Ronald Acuna Jr. leading off for the Braves tonight, activated from the injured list earlier today, and will be making his debut for the Braves this season.
And the weather couldn't be better for all events.
Oh, just gorgeous,
beautiful,
gorgeous weekend, and hopefully, if you got a if you've got something outdoors scheduled for the next couple of days,
I think there's quite a few festivals around Montgomery, and
looks as though things should be cooperating.
But
so
just be safe, drive safe. There'll be a lot of nuts out there driving.
Yeah, be aware, be busy. You mentioned it feels like the big weekend in Lake Martin. A lot of folks
going everybody going down to the beach. Like we were talking earlier, this is basically the kickoff of summer. Memorial Day has always been like the beginning of summer, and let's not forget what Memorial Day really stands for either.
Absolutely.
The military.
Glad you mentioned that. Yeah. So I know it's become like the weekend itself has become so celebratory,
right?
That like you almost like it's like a happy Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
But it's like you do want to remember like Memorial Day itself.
Yeah.
A day to remember those who died on the front lines of freedom. So so it's I'm glad you mentioned that, Coach.
As I always like Memorial Day too. All the old war movies.
Oh sure,
some great ones. The longest day.
Oh man, Bridge Over the River Kwai.
Yeah, all those. John Wayne.
Some good ones.
Some of them are so corny and so bad, but they're great.
Oh, some really
PT 109.
Oh, wow. Now we're talking.
I'm telling my age.
Tora,
too.
Tora, Tora.
You get some, yeah. Some good ones. Yeah, some good ones in there, Coach. Yeah. Oh, man. All right. 334-321-1390, the number to dial. We were talking during the it was during the commercial break in the previous segment. I mentioned that one of the so there's a there's a website called, and I swear this is an Auburn football segment. There's a website called Letterboxd out there, and it's sort of you chronicle your favorite movies, and a lot of folks have their it's like a social media service for where you log like the movies you've watched, and you say like these are my four favorites, the last four I've watched, things like that. And Justin Ferguson and I have taken that to like we do our four favorite things in different categories of late, and we've sort of adapted it to what we talk about on the podcast. And in the episode that went up this morning, we just went took turns naming some of our favorite Auburn linebackers over the years. And you know, whether sometimes we'd go like your last 10 seasons, your last 20 seasons, something like that. We didn't really throw a time limit on the Auburn linebacker chat. I mentioned Kevin Green, who was a guy that I and I don't know how familiar you got to be with.
What a great guy.
So he when he was down at Miramar Beach, he used to call the Classic Rock Station. When I was working part time.
I used to see him. He helped out with a high school down in that area too. And, you know, he came in and helped us.
Right.
He would come in during 2-a-days and work with the D-line. Are you kidding me?
Oh, man. I mean.
And what a, just a sad deal that we've lost him. But, man, what a player.
What a player and a football mind, right? Yes, like a guy who just had that, you know.
Intense. Man, you talk about intense on the field.
And he would watch, you know, I've heard him tell stories, you know, he'd be able to watch a pass rusher and sort of die, you know, and die. He had put a lot of thought into.
He was ahead of his time with the hand, coordination.
Yeah, the hand battle.
The hand battle.
Yeah.
With a lot of martial arts stuff. Leverage
the art of pass rushing.
Yes,
like I think he'd sort of advanced.
And he really helped us.
Yeah,
and you know when you bring in somebody like that, the kids they just perk up. I mean, they could listen to Don Dunn, Terry Price talk about hand placement. I was lucky to play intramurals, much less college, but this guy's all pro.
Instant credibility.
Yeah,
it comes in when I.
And he would get so intense, and he was strong.
Oh man!
And his hands, the grip. I mean, he'd grab us and.
If he had bailed on football earlier and done the pro wrestling thing more seriously, because he worked a couple of matches, he was friends with Ric Flair and Mongo, and got roped into doing a couple of matches with those guys in the 90s while he was while he was still playing, Carolina was not thrilled about having one of their players.
Can you imagine him going and you got this guy that's all pro and he's out there throwing his weight around on a Saturday night Valdosta, Georgia.
Can you imagine when fall camp starts and your ankle's not ready to go because you heard it messing around with Ric Flair?
I had a good friend of mine who coached at Florida, played at Florida, did some wrestling. He's a big offensive lineman, Joe Wickline.
Okay, yeah.
He coached all over the country. Big guy. He GA'd with us at Tennessee. That's how I got to know him. He told me he almost got killed. You know, that's, a lot of it's fake, but you still got to get thrown around. You got to fall. He said the guy beat the living snot out of him. He said I couldn't walk for 3 days, and he played football.
There's risks. There's some risks,
and some of those, I got so tickled. Listening
some of those
to
those some of those guys are territorial too. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got Kazmaier, in town, of course, legendary. Bill Kazmaier, legendary figure
in martial arts and all that pro wrestling.
Yeah, guy worked in that world for a while. No, just talking. Yeah, told a couple Kevin Green stories on the podcast. Yeah. I had no idea about that he came up and was as active as he was.
What a great guy.
The best. Yeah. I talked about Carlos Dansby as a guy,
first thing I thought of when you said that. I've never seen a player like that. The time he intercepted the ball and threw it back in bounds, never touching the ground. Of course, it was illegal, but that might be the greatest play I've ever seen.
And another ahead of his time player, too, because you think about in a world of more –
He was a hybrid type kid,
yeah.
Like a safety, a outside linebacker, a defensive end. He could cover, he could run, he could rush the passer, he could tackle. just a great tackler.
Yeah, man. And a guy who I think as the game moved to more passing,
mm-hmm.
he would not have been out of his element.
No,
like between as a pass right. rusher,
right.
As a coverage threat,
he wouldn't be your old typical Dick Butkus middle linebacker. No,
no, but he would have. I mean, and did. I mean, the guy played for
forever.
Yeah, 15 plus
and
NFL
a great
seasons.
Kid. Well, he's not a kid, but a great person.
Yeah, a guy you could tell like was
just he was all business. He never. We were so lucky. We had such good kids.
I was going to say, you know, another guy who played a little, you know, shortly thereafter is Travis.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, another guy who universally right. seen as a great kid and a guy who clearly
been
made
very
his impact.
Successful.
Yeah, made his impact,
and not a big guy.
As a, I mean,
talking about size,
got every drop out of his athleticism,
and then the little ball of hate we brought up.
Oh boy, yeah.
You talk about somebody who can explode.
Yeah, I mean, Trey Blackmon.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, and that was because of the length of his
career. He scared me.
That's a lightning strike, you know, like half, it's just, it's basically just
and he was small.
Half of 06 and 07 is when you get, but yeah,
he was little.
Undersized guy, but you can, but you know what, like there's a way to make that a weapon.
Yeah.
There's a way to, we've seen it at running back
right.
more than at linebacker.
Right.
There's a way to make a low center of gravity and explosive burst at a compact size. You know, I think about a Darren Sproles.
Mm-hmm.
Right or you know, but guys who have made that work at less than less than ideal.
Cadillac wasn't a big guy.
Cadillac wasn't a huge guy. You're absolutely right. No. Like there have been players who made that right. who made that work. For
now
an
Ronnie
extended,
Brown would punish you. He was thick.
Ronnie Brown would have found a spot somewhere else on the field.
He could have played linebacker
if he wasn't. Yeah. If he wasn't anywhere.
Yeah.
Like not just.
Thank God we didn't tell him that like we did Rivers. Woo. I wouldn't be here sitting here today, believe me.
You know, mentioned and you know a guy who I mean on that same and was yours for a couple of years mm-hmm. as well as Josh Pines.
Yeah.
You know, Josh Pines shows up and I don't think anybody thought of Josh, another great guy.
Oh,
absolutely
super.
Fantastic guy to talk to. And would do, you know, went out of his way. Both for the community and in media, like when mm-hmm. you know if folks need a little extra time, like Josh was happy
right.
to, you know, very generous. I don't know if folks looked at Josh Bynes and thought he's going to start for multiple years for an SEC program and he's going to play in the NFL for a decade plus.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't know if he was tabbed as that kind of player.
No, probably not.
And he another guy who got every got every drop out of his mm-hmm. out of his work ethic and his ability and ended up having a fantastic and he's another one of those couple Auburn defensive backs who I think people may not realize how active they've been as coaches
mm-hmm.
When you think about like a
all successful
I know Darren Bates
mm-hmm.
has been in the in that world for a while. There was
Caribbean.
Caribbean.
He just got hired, I think, at Oklahoma State.
Caribbean was Dr. Caribbean Didi.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Savage has been. I mean, obviously Zach Etheridge.
Right, right.
Nico Thorpe.
Yeah,
I mean, there's multiple like defensive. I think Nico and Darren Bates
mm-hmm.
have both been with different NFL teams for.
Right.
Multiple seasons in defensive back development, so it's cool to see. Like
yeah,
you know, guys
great.
Like that. I mean, and obviously Travis.
Yeah,
right? I mean Travis can be head coach pretty soon if things break right.
Right.
334-321-1390, the number to dial. We'd love to hear from you, Dan Peck, Don Dunn in the studio, Bill Cameron, and our buddy Drew taking the day off. Hour number two of the drive brought to you by our good friends at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. We will get to your calls when we come back. You are listening to The Drive.
The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Like a sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Friday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck, Don Dunn in the studio. Love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. And let's get to the phones. And we got Jeff hanging on. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. How you doing this evening?
Doing all right. Good to hear from you.
Good. Hope you have a good weekend upcoming. Hope everybody stays safe and Enjoy it. I kind of caught the tail end of you guys talking about the linebackers. I just got in from my car listening to you. Oh, man, you bring back some memories. But I'm going to tell you, two of mine is growing up in the early 80s, but I was just fascinated with two of the linebackers. Brett Carr and Kurt Crane was always two of my favorites.
Yes.
You're talking about hard-nosed, nasty. Brett Carr was unbelievable linebacker. Late Coach Dye revved about him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He was a throwback, a Dick Butkus type. Not many people fit that mold, but
most of what I know about Greg comes from Coach Dye, from hearing him cite Greg as examples over and over again of the way to do it. I knew Kurt pretty well. Kurt, you know, used to, you know, when I first got started with Bill, Kurt was a regular guest, you know, coming on mm-hmm. Tuesdays and breaking stuff down for us and you know, got to learn so much about the game from him and got to become his friend and learn about life too two guys who, yeah, again, a little before my time as players, but guys who I've become very well acquainted with their importance.
Oh yeah, and along that team, a little after Carr, Crane came along with Montgomery's own Andre Bruce. Mm-hmm. I know he didn't have a stellar NFL career, but when I tell you, he was a terror in college.
Yes, sir.
He was unstoppable in college on that late 80s team. I never seen defense play like that, those teams back in the day. And Andre Bruce was about as nasty as they came back in those days.
Yeah, and again, a guy who – I think it's unfortunate that when you're taken really early in the draft and your pro career doesn't work out, like that can become – the story of how people remember you, but it's like, no, you don't win a contest to go first or second or third in the NFL draft. Like you dominate at a certain level, and then you earn the right to go that early in the draft. And yeah, I absolutely think that's the case with Andre.
Yeah, but that has no bearing on his college career. He was absolutely unbelievable. I still can remember, and I wasn't even living in Alabama, but I heard the calls years later, the Georgia Tech game. I don't know if you all remember that, when they played Georgia Tech years over Georgia Tech, when he picked that ball off. I could still hear the late Jim Fife calling that play. Fife was unbelievable. He loved those teams, too.
Yes, sir.
Those 80-guy teams.
Yeah, they were special.
And one other linebacker, too, and I'll let you guys go. Yeah, our former sideline reporter before Ronnie Brown took over, Quinn Riggins.
Yes.
People forget about what a player Quinn Riggins was.
Yes, for sure. Wow, I forgot about him.
He was absolutely a terror on that middle linebacker, and Coach Dye loved him as well.
Exactly.
He was one of his all-time favorites.
And a great person. Mm.
Yes, I got to meet him in person several times over the years. I mean, when I tell you a gentleman, you know, it's almost like, wow, is this the nasty linebacker I saw play? I mean, it was almost like, oh, my God, I couldn't believe it. But he was all gentleman. He's a two-all-man. I just thought I'd chime in.
Those are some.
There's so many other linebackers. There was a Darrell Crawford, too. I don't know if you all remember him.
Yeah, those are special guys, Jeff. You're exactly right. You forget about back in those 80 teams and just the nastiness and the old school linebackers, sideline to sideline, sticking their face in there, blood all over them. That's what it was all about, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Tearaway jerseys. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, man. There was nothing like it.
No, and it won't be ever again either, my friend.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. You brought back some fun memories. I enjoyed that. I hope we can keep it going.
Love to hear it. Glad you enjoyed it, Jeff. We will talk to you soon. Have a good weekend.
You too.
334-321-1390. The number. That was fun. Always good to hear from our buddy.
Forgot about some of those guys.
Let's get Philly Fanatic on the phone. It's you know what, the Philadelphia, very important city in American history.
Heck yes.
What 250 next summer? Is that right? Is that right, Fanatic?
Yeah, I think so. I wanted to talk about the Pope, man. Some of my best friends graduated from Nova. Couple played football there, but Jay Wright, he's number two now. Pope took over.
Wow, that's huge. That's a huge jump. But no, you know what? I like this guy so far too. You know, yeah. He's easy to win me over. But it's dude's a. I mean, it's got to be good news for the White Sox. Right?
That's right.
And the Bears.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up, you're talking about Memorial Day. My father will be 102 soon.
Wow.
He fought in the Battle of the Bulge, and there's not a whole lot of them left. There was 100,000 casualties in that.
Wow.
And so he told me some stories where a lot of guys there were in line were peeing their pants and calling for their mother.
Well.
They thought it was the end of time.
Yeah. I just have nothing but the greatest respect and admiration for anybody that served any war, any time. My father-in-law lied about his age, put newspapers in his shoes to join World War II. So, and my dad was in the Navy. Just that's what it's all about, buddy. And I just hope we never forget. I'm worried about some of the stuff going on now that we don't take things serious and remember why we have a Memorial Day. And
My father kind of lost his hearing because he was in the artillery.
Oh,
he
man.
Said for a couple of weeks, the guns never stopped because it was snowing so much it kept the barrels cold, and they just kept firing away.
Wow.
But I wanted to go back to, Coach, how far do you go back in college football? What's your first year in playing, coaching?
Okay, my first year of playing, I'm old. I graduated high school in 1971, so my first year of college football was 72. I went to a junior college, Lees McRae in Banner Elk, North Carolina, and then I went to East Tennessee State, and my last year was 75.
Okay, I got you on that. I was the University of Delaware in 1969.
Okay.
I joined a fraternity called Sigma Phi Epsilon. Back then, they didn't have football fraternities. And they called us Sig Apes.
Yeah.
Because that most of the guys were bigger than everybody else. But I want to go back to the size. Back then, the biggest guys in our fraternity, the linemen, were 6'3", 250.
Yeah.
Now that's not even a linebacker size.
Exactly.
Now.
You're exactly right. The most I ever weighed, unfortunately, I passed that. My senior year at East Tennessee State, I got up to 225, 228. And I thought that was great, and I played center. And
that's a thing that, I mean, over the course of what the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, you just gradually saw, you know, the size.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, you see pictures of, I just saw it, you know, the other day that Tommy Lee Jones,
yes,
started at guard, when he was an Ivy Leaguer at Harvard.
Yeah. Yeah.
At, you know, and probably what 200, you know, 210, maybe.
My uncle.
You know, maybe not even.
Yeah,
you know.
My uncle played at the University of Louisville, offensive guard. He weighed 162. 6 foot, 162. And in between his sophomore and junior year, he went and fought in the Korean War and came back and finished.
incredible story. I think a lot of that has to do with nutrition, strength training, and
won't
put down the getting into the minority athletes. I mean, because back then, there wasn't one on our team. Mm. And it, all of a sudden, they got in the 70s and 80s, and it just brought everybody's size up. But I remember to get somebody for about 10 years, there was no one at 300 pounds.
No, not at all.
300 pounds, you were flabby, and you were slow.
Yeah.
You were like,
believe me, I know.
I mean, bigger, and people wondered about, like, bigger, faster, stronger coming to sports, you know, in the 80s when you saw the powerlifting boom. And
I bought a book called Bigger, Faster, Stronger.
Yep.
While I was in high school. But, yeah, I tried to gain weight any way in the world, you know, eating late, milkshakes, protein powders, all that junk. Yeah, it was amazing.
Great stuff, Philly Fanatic. Really appreciate it. Fun. We will. We got more folks trying to get in. Also, awesome to hear from Philly Fanatic. Love to hear from you. 334-321-1390, the number to dial. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll come back with more. You are listening to The Drive.
This is Lee. 211-390.
Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Friday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck, Don Dunn hanging out in the studio. Taking your calls. Anything you want to talk about? And I mean, we have bounced around. There's not a ton of breaking news when it comes to Auburn University football or men's basketball right now. Baseball, waiting to see what happens. Next weekend or waiting to see what happens early next week when we get the bracket, presumably hosting next weekend in regional play. Should be a lot of fun at Plainsman Park. Just remembering some guys in this, in the early part of hour number two, and love to hear from you as we get back to the phones and venture down to the Florida Panhandle to talk to our buddy Mitch.
Hey guys, wanted to chime in on the whole hot dog thing.
Excited to hear what you have to say about this, Mitch.
Okay, well. I spent about 20 years in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and there was a little hole-in-the-wall place called Hot Diggity Dog. Now, this place was so popular, we used to leave Pope Air Force Base because our lunch was like from 11:30 to 1. But we would get permission to leave at 10 so we could get there by about 10:30, 10:45 so we'd have a place inside to sit because it was so popular. But their specialty, all they did was hamburgers, hot dogs, french fries, and beverages, non-alcoholic. But they did what they called a Carolina dog. Now, it's mustard, onion, chili, or a Carolina chili, which is a really kind of thick, all-meat chili that you actually poach the beef, and coleslaw. And that is actually my favorite.
Okay.
I mean, it was so messy, you had to have a roll of paper towels once you got finished with this thing. And they also made a hot dog the same way. They would just add, you could add cheese to it. But those were the best hamburgers and hot dogs I've ever had in my life. Now,
Mitch, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the original people sold it. And they kind of expanded, and it kind of went downhill from there. But anyway, go ahead, Dan.
The hot dog nostalgia that I would throw at you, and I had completely forgotten about this until my memory was refreshed. But I remember a couple times as a kid going down to South Florida and going to, felt like an old school hot dog stand that had a couple of locations, and their big thing was beer steamed hot dogs. Mm-hmm. They would steam them in a mixture of water, but I believe it was mostly beer.
Yeah.
And they were very good. And then I didn't think about it for a long time. And then in the Martin Scorsese movie, The Irishman, on Netflix, they go to Lum's Hot Dogs. And I suddenly, the memories all came flowing back to me of down in Miami Beach. And certainly, I want to say they had one in St. Pete, too. Of Lum's hot dogs.
Yeah, we had them in Louisville.
Yeah, and it was a regional chain. I think it's been gone for decades now.
Yeah, this was the late 60s.
But I had a couple of pretty good hot dogs at Lum's. I've never attempted to recreate the beer steaming method at home, I tell you what, if you know what you're doing, you can steam a pretty good hot dog that way.
Well, this is for both of you, and I got two things. First thing is, I live about 11 miles from Dufuniak Springs, right off of I-10. And the oldest hot dog stand in Florida is in Dufuniak Springs, and it seats maybe 15, 20 people. yeah, and they've got some great food there. I hadn't been there in a while.
Is that H&M? Yeah, I know about H&M.
Okay. And secondly, you're talking about the steamed and the beer. What I like to do with brats, and this is for you, Coach, is I like to poach my brat in beer with onions.
Yes.
And then you take the brat, take the brats off because they'll be nice and they'll be white and not look very well, and then throw them on the grill.
Yes.
And char them. And something else you can do with brats, because, you know, if you get them too warm, the skin will split.
Right.
You take, like, a sewing needle and put pricks all through the casings, the little bitty tiny ones. Mm-hmm. It'll release that steam and the juices, and the casings won't explode on you.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, take them off the grill, and then you take the onions that were poached with the brat,
right,
put them on there. Use some of that spicy mustard you like.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
You know, my buddy, when I went up to the Derby, he cooked his brats like that. They were awesome. And the beer and the onions. Mm.
So Mitch, I would tell you, I mean, it's been a while, but H&M is good. And you're going to want, you know, go for at least the story that you've been there. And they've got, I think Ed's is still down there too.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
The pub burger.
If you ever get a chance, Ed's is an old school hamburger stand in Dufuniac, and they got a guy who knows what he's doing. If it's still the same guy, and if not, I'm sure he was trained by this guy. They got a guy. who knows what he's doing on the flat top, Coach.
We got a guy.
Yeah, and it's really good stuff.
Yeah, been there a couple of times. Took the wife there. They're famous for the pub burger, and yes, it's still there on Highway 90.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful to hear.
And hey, last thing for Philly Fanatic. Now my uncle will probably call me and correct me, but he played guard for Auburn High School in the mid '60s. He was about 5'11", 6 foot, about 160 pounds.
Oh yeah,
but he was very quick, and he's told me stories of just tearing up some of these 200-plus-pound defensive linemen that were fat and slow when he pulled, because he pulled all the time.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I was going to say. You're running the veer. You're running something that asks the offense to stay in motion the whole time, right? I mean, if you got big, immobile, but also, like, impossible to move by someone else, you know what I mean? You know,
down and pull.
Yeah, when the immovable object is, you know, then yeah, by all means, have those guys form a pass blocking wall. But if you got undersized guys, you know, I guess that's what you. It's like, you know, it's in case of emergency, it's what you got to do.
Right.
Right. He was very good at it, but he was a better baseball player. But he broke his wrist in a football game, and that. Finish that, because he actually played a little bit at Auburn University, but his wrist just was so messed up from a football game. Played at Felton Little Park, which is kind of like playing on asphalt from what he told me back then in the 60s. So anyway, cooking some ribs and chicken for Memorial Day, probably Sunday. Going to watch the races, Monaco
in the morning,
Indy, and then probably throw the Coke 600 on and just have it on in the background, because that is a long 400-lap.
Yeah, that's an exciting day. I forgot the Indies this weekend. Hard to believe.
Yeah. But, to all my veterans out there, happy Memorial Day.
And, for sure.
Yeah, remember the ones that have fallen for us. All right, guys, War Eagle, we'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it, Mitch. Yeah, by all means. Any mention of those who gave their lives, any time to remember folks on the front lines of freedom. Really appreciate it, and always grateful to hear from our buddy Mitch down in Northwest Florida. I used to Dufuniac. One of the reasons I know Dufuniac well is because we were Vortex Springs folks.
Mm-hmm.
For some of you who know about Northwest Florida, that's a cool place to visit. Very busy on Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it'll be hopping this weekend. By the way, got word from our Skybar friends. Open this weekend. Construction still going on in the front, but a lot of the back. So the right street entrance will be open, and they got the new beer garden upstairs. They got the new pool room. So a lot of cool stuff going on if you're looking for something to do in Auburn this weekend downtown. 334-321-1390. That is the Drive Hotline presented by Skybar. And let's get to the phones, and Bill is hanging on. What's up, Bill?
Hi, guys. Your previous caller, I remember that hot dog place when I was in Ranger School in Fort Bragg. I went there a number of times, and it was really a great place. That you're talking about the hot dog scene in beer. There was a baseball player. His name was Mike Lum. Played for the Braves back in the 60s. I believe he was the original owners.
Wow.
Oh, is that right?
Wow.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I know it's based out of South Florida, and it would make sense that it started, like, baseball players are down in South Florida all the time, right? Between spring training.
I'm pretty sure that was Mike Lum's original, and they called it Lum's, and they did. They were in Atlanta. They were everywhere, but they steamed their hot dogs and beer.
Mm-hmm.
I was a kid then, so I never got to have one. But as far as Coach Dunn, since we're kicking around an old time, two of my favorite players from back in your time was I really like that. Remember Josh Thompson and Tommy Jackson?
Oh yes, two of my favorites. Then you got to throw DeMarco McNeil in there. None of those guys were huge height-wise, but they were tough, and they could stop the run, and just great players, hard-nosed, and great, great young men. Wow.
And they were only, I think Josh, only about 5'11", wasn't he?
Yeah, maybe. 5'10", maybe, 5'11". Tommy Jackson were about to say, yes, sir. And then DeMarco McNeil. DeMarco was a great athlete. He was a great basketball player, great golfer. I mean, he'd fool you with his body type. But, yeah, those guys were not tall, about 310, 320 maybe, and just hard-nosed.
But you had to push them out of the way over and over and over again because they weren't gonna quit.
Strong and explosive.
They weren't easy to beat at the point of attack, and even if you did win – that initial battle.
Yeah, they were going to take the gap.
They're going to keep coming. They were relentless, you know. And
Josh would get so mad at me if I took him out on third down to put in a faster pass rusher. He didn't like that at all.
I think a lot of those interior defensive linemen in the Tuberville era, and Coach, you know, I'm not just saying this because you're across the desk from me, but like I think a lot of them are sort of the unsung heroes of those because it was easier to point to the running backs and the quarterbacks and you know guys who touch the ball and even some of the flashier stat collecting defensive players.
And we
players.
Had great offensive players.
Yeah.
And we had three first round draft choices.
But a lot of what made the whole defense work was the front line holding
seven guys.
Holding their own and setting things up.
And we were very fortunate. We had a very good defense in 04, probably a lot better than people realize. If you go back and I'm not a big stat guy, but look at the stats. I heard some other shows today talking about the last 25 years of Auburn football. But you're right. They were kind of the unsung heroes and very unselfish. And again, I cannot emphasize what great people they were. Great
love,
kids.
Yeah, love a Tez, right?
Yeah, you know, yeah, I mean, Tez. Yeah, Tez, about Tez.
Tez Doolittle.
And he wasn't a big, tall guy.
Wasn't a big, tall guy either.
The biggest guy I ever had probably was the guy we moved, Jay Ratliff.
Jay Ratliff, yeah.
Now, he was the real deal. He was scary. I'm still scared of him.
Just heard Jason Kelsey tell a Jay Ratliff story on a podcast a couple days ago. I believe his first start. Was against Jay Jay Ratliff just whipping him the whole game?
Well, I'm gonna tell you what, he was a bad man, and he did not want to move to defensive end, and he sure did not want to move to D tackle. But he played.
Forgive you for that.
He played 7 years with the pros or more.
Oh yeah, but I think he played more. But did he ever forgive you for moving him to defense?
Yeah, I think he did when he signed that first contract or the second one.
He saw those commas.
Yeah,
the Cowboys deal.
But I didn't get any of it, buddy.
Well, that 04 team to this day, and I've been to a lot of Auburn football back to Pat Dodd, all the way up to now. Actually, Barfield. That 04 LSU game was the best game I've ever watched in person.
Well, I appreciate that. Man, that was a nail biter. Whew.
It still was, but you know, that
I'm glad that clock went off.
There were two of those. I mean, 2 years later, the Auburn LSU play a game. I think it's like 7-3, and it's like you had a couple of games where at Jordan-Hare where those two teams did not want to give an inch,
right.
and it, you know, and I mean, to win a game with 10 points wasn't all that common back then. To win a game with 7. Wasn't all that common, and yet you had two straight games between Auburn and LSU at Jordan-Hare where that's all it took, mm-hmm. because of the level of violence that you saw on that field.
Yeah, they were both very aggressive, hard-nosed teams. Great rivalry. I hate that we don't play LSU as much as we used to.
I enjoy the show, guys. War Eagle.
Thank you.
Great stuff, Bill. Appreciate it, and enjoy your weekend. 334-321-1390. Dan Peck and Don Dunn hanging out in hour number two here in the studio. We'll be back with more. You are listening to The Drive.
Remember when you would dream about what you would grow up to be? Imagining your dolls were students.
Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. Final segment of the show. On a Friday afternoon, holiday weekend, hopefully everybody will have a healthy and safe Memorial Day weekend. Be aware on the roads out there, especially if you're in somewhere that's a little bit busier than usual this weekend. You know, our buddies down in Northwest Florida, Lake
right.
Martin.
Yes,
certainly.
Yes.
If it fits that bill as well, so just be aware, be alert, and be safe this weekend. And if you get the opportunity on Monday, you know, try to keep in mind the reason for
right.
the Memorial Day
for sure
holiday. Observe the holiday as best you can. Coach, you're gonna be getting out there this weekend and getting on the getting on the grill, getting some ribs going,
getting the old smoker. I don't know what I'm gonna cook yet. My wife and I were talking about that earlier today. I'll go to the store tomorrow and just walk around and find something to throw on.
See what inspires you. See,
yeah. Now they got me thinking of those brats.
Brats. You know. I'm,
but that's easy.
Yeah.
I got to have something that takes a little longer.
I wouldn't mind. Yeah. You know. I mean, brats and burgers could be.
Oh, yeah.
Could be happening pretty soon because you know a good char grilled cheeseburger, my friend.
Yeah. You can't beat it.
Is one of the.
And you know, sometimes you just got to have a cheeseburger.
And you know what? Even if steak is an option, you know what I mean?
I like steak.
I like steak too.
But it's hard to beat a good old cheeseburger.
But correctly made cheeseburger with the right stuff on it.
The big old red tomato and onion.
I'm not opposed to going. I don't mind a tomato slice.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to go McDonald's style on a cheeseburger, by that I mean, you know, If you get that you know $1.19 McDonald's cheeseburger, I don't even know what it really costs anymore. It's probably wrong.
But at one point
it was $1.19. It was a lot less than that at one point.
I'm so old. I remember where White Castles or Crystals were 12 cents.
I was reading about the history of Crystals the other day. There's some stuff about it. I had. I mean, that's probably your oldest fast food franchise.
Yeah, that and White Castle, which is in Northern and Louisville. We don't have Crystals in Louisville.
Very rare to have an area that gets both White Castle and Crystal. But no, I'd say mustard, ketchup, onion, pickle.
Yeah,
I mean,
onions were diced.
How's that? A cheeseburger.
Could eat, many a night after being around, I would eat a whole sack all of it.
Look, a cheeseburger with the big four.
Yes.
Ketchup, mustard, pickle, onion.
Yeah.
You're doing okay. You're doing okay. And there might be some of that
now
on the menu.
Now we get a Jimmy Buffett sound.
Now he says he throws Heinz 57 on there, which is not
French fried potato. Maybe he's putting it on a potato.
Maybe, though. But still that's a high, I mean, and that's a steak sauce I guess there's nothing wrong with Heinz 57 on a cheeseburger, but you don't really see it all that often. But you know, this is a week. This is a weekend for a Jimmy Buffett song or two.
Oh yeah,
as well. This is a weekend for
sure.
Fins to the left, fins to the right.
What a great one!
Oh man. So anyways, enjoy your holiday weekend. Be safe. And we will be back.
Remember
on,
the reason, like
yeah,
you said,
and remember, yeah, remembrance on Monday, including the town's going to do the dedication at the
right.
I used
to attend the mayor's breakfast when I was here all the time. In fact, I took my father-in-law who was World War II veteran, and he really enjoyed it. I don't know if they still do that.
I believe they still do.
Then they walk down and place the wreath.
And place the wreath at the memorial, something really cool to see.
I heard Colonel Moore one time speak at it. Wow.
And they'll be doing that on Monday.
Yes.
So
check that out. Great event, and like you said, just thankful for all those people that sacrificed the ultimate deal, man.
Yeah. Tremendous right.
tremendous
to keep that
and act like knuckleheads
to keep that in mind. Yeah, it's not exactly what they had in mind when they were fighting on the front lines, but Friday afternoon, still pretty. To hear the caller earlier, you know, that had the father-in-law was in the Battle of the Bulge,
103 years old.
Amazing. So
there's a lot of great stories, yeah. And you know, most of the veterans never wanted to talk about it.
No, and you know what? And I mean, that's true of a lot of wars,
right?
But especially like World War II.
Yeah,
like you hear that it's what you think about, like the cinematic version of.
Can you imagine being one of those young men going up on one of them boats landing in Normandy?
Are you kidding me? First 30 minutes or so of Saving Private Ryan.
That is just intense.
As incredible as filmmaking.
And there'll be some great movies on this weekend. I get your young kids to watch them.
Yeah.
Because I worry about the history. I don't want to get on a soapbox.
No, but by all means.
But they need to know.
Yes.
Well, they can get on an iPad and listen to all that.
We're pro intellectual curiosity,
right.
On the show, and certainly something like that's important. You know, learning the history and learning why. And Memorial Day weekend, a perfect time to do it. Coach, thank you so much.
Thank you, buddy. Be safe.
Absolutely. We will talk to you again very soon. No show Monday. We will be back on Tuesday for Coach Don Dunn, for Bill Cameron, for Drew, who's usually at the controls, but not today. It was me, and for all of our callers. Thanks so much. Have a fantastic weekend. We will talk to you again on Tuesday. Good night.
Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying, skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.